Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the House of the Lord. We're glad you're here this day. Seems like March is going out like a lion. I think it came in like a lamb, so certainly a little cooler temperatures here, but we know it's spring, and I'm sure the spring temperatures will be coming here shortly. We want to just take a couple of minutes here at the beginning of the service to announce anything that we need to share. Who has an announcement? Deb?
Thank you, sister.
It will be at 6.
6 o'clock.
6 p.m.
Okay. Great. Yes, what?
We're going to have a ladies' aid meeting right after church.
Okay.
Come back to the little
room. Ladies, if you could give a few minutes after church, appreciate it. And we are still planning then for sunrise service as well on Easter, April the 17th. So those are some upcoming events.
I forgot, yes. And we are going to have an Easter egg hunt for the little ones after church on Easter Sunday. It'll be for the younger, little guys.
So. After church, okay. Wonderful. It's that time of year. Praise God.
I just want to add, this is pertaining to the fire company, but along with Easter, they are doing a pie sale. They're taking orders for lemon meringue, coconut cream, and chocolate meringue. The three pies they're selling. They're $10 a piece, 9-inch pies. And if anybody wants to order any, you can see me, and I'll also put an order form in the back as well. But we'll need the orders by the 10th, and you pick them up on the 16th that morning from 8 to 11 at the fire hall. So they are taking orders for those for Easter pies.
Thank you. All right. Without any further business, let us begin our worship with one more. Tours.
I can't let it go. I'm a great grandmother now.
Praise God.
Leon Williams.
Praise God. All right. New life. Let us begin our worship with this prelude. Our call to worship comes from Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. Lord, we come into your house with joy. It is a joy to be together. It is a joy, Lord, to worship in your presence. And we ask your Holy Spirit indeed would come now and move in our midst, and have your way. Illuminate the scriptures for us, Lord, and teach us the stories of Jesus. We pray that you would help us in our walk with you, and we ask, Lord, that you would be glorified in this time. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Please join me in standing, and we'll sing hymn number 194.
Save in from sin and the grave.
may be seated. We always take time to share together our joys and concerns, those things that are on our hearts that we'd like to have the congregation praying about, and so give you an opportunity to share that. Who would like to start?
Continue, Ricky and Alan and anyone else that is suffering.
Thank you. Greg, is that?
Yeah, I want to remember his brother. He's still having a lot of problems. He's got his hip taken care of. His back is still giving him a lot of problems and issues. And I know that's probably one of the main reasons why he's not here this morning, is because of his back problems.
Yep.
And Ralph, cousin Ralph, Rick, and Darlene, Judy, and our neighbor Joe Moser. I want to keep him in our
Thank you.
And Pat, she's still having trouble with her leg.
Others?
I have a couple. First of all, it's a praise. Friday, I was able to actually see my friend Velma that has her cancer. First time I got to see her in months. She's coming along. She still needs prayers. They found another spot. She's not going to continue with treatment, and it's in the Lord's hands from there.
Right.
But it was a joy to see her and praise to spend time with her. Also, I got a call from Brad, Devin, and I would sing at Mount Moriah Church in Pottsville. Got a call Friday from them as well. One of their members passed away. He sang there, Larry Hanger. He passed away on Friday morning. And so we need to pray for that church and that family. He was an asset to that church as well. I'll be playing for his funeral on Tuesday. And, of course, my list, as always.
Okay.
But I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Any others? Deb?
Just my list in general. Pray for our church. Pray for the Spirit to move in a mighty way. And pray for our country and its leadership. Not only our government leaders, but also our leaders, our religious leaders, that they go to His word and follow it.
And with that, I'd like to show you a song video. Maxine's going to get that up here for us. And as we're thinking about what's going on in the world today, this is a message about Ukraine. And it is a new song that was developed by the worship team, a couple there at FCF, and put together by a member of FCF. And so you're going to see images of Ukraine along with this worship song. And so I think it's very powerful, and we'll use that before we go into prayer.
Thank you.
And let us pray. And as we go to prayer, we invite you to kneel, or you may remain seated with your head bowed, and then we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. So let us pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come boldly into your throne room this morning. God, thank you for the many ways that you have blessed us, and our hearts are heavy, and as we think about what's going on in the world, and Ukraine, the latest situation, Lord, we just ask, Father, for an end to the war, an end to the suffering, 10 million people displaced from their homes, many of those are children, and so God, we pray you would watch out for the little ones. God, would you provide and meet the needs? The needs are great in the countries surrounding Ukraine and in Ukraine itself. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would move in the hearts of leaders, and pray that you would have your way. Your will would be done. May the name of Jesus go forth in power as aid is given, Lord. Pray that many would come to saving faith in you. Lord, we pray for those things that are on our hearts, and we think of those people that we know that are suffering because of illness or sickness or recovering from surgeries. Lord, would you bless mightily. And so be with our brother Bob, and we pray for those that are struggling with pain. We think of Steve and others, Lord, Danny. Would you meet their needs, Lord? We pray for you would continue to comfort those who lost loved ones. Be with Larry's family. We pray, Lord, you would bless Ricky. And Lord, we just ask for your hand to be upon all those who are on our hearts and minds today, those who are on our lists. We pray, Father, that you would move in a mighty way that those who are serving. So, God, we thank you for those who are in the military, people that we know. And so we pray your hedge of protection to be around about them. And so, be with Elijah Moser and Caleb Peters, and pray that you would be with Ashley Parker and Hunter Wiles. We pray you would be with Bruce and Kyle and Ethan, Isaiah, Jacob, Matthew, Joseph, and James, just to name a few. Lord, we pray for our leaders here at home, our governors, our mayors. We pray for our church leaders. God, would you help? Help them to make wise decisions, Lord. We pray for those that are sharing the gospel, those that are overseas and abroad, missionaries at home. We pray you would meet their needs. And so continue to move mightily in the Far East, move in Africa. So much trouble and turmoil. We think of Syria, Nigeria, and so many places, Lord, need a touch of your hand. God, this old world is a very troubled place. We pray you'd help us as your people to make a difference. We pray for organizations that are reaching out. Be with Craig Wisson, the new Youth for Christ director. Be with Chris Eckert, the Young Life leader. With others, Lord, they're reaching out to our young people here at home and abroad. God, we thank you for your many blessings to us. Thank you for family and friends. Thank you, Lord, for your grace this week, and maybe ways we didn't even recognize your angels surrounding us, your provisions for us. Lord, we are grateful. And as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, Lord, we thank you that you will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So bless Ukraine. Bless the United States. Bless those countries, Lord, that lift up the name of the Lord. And so we pray your blessing for Jerusalem and for Israel as well. Meet the needs, Lord, as we continue to come out of the restrictions of COVID. And we pray, Lord, you would move in a mighty way. Allow the doctors and nurses to continue to do their work. And we ask you to bless those that are on the front lines. Thank you for our doctors and those that are caring for the wounded. Thank you for our firemen. Thank you, Lord, for our teachers, caring for our students. Thank you, Lord, for our police. Lord, we have a society that works. And we ask, Lord, you would help others to allow them to come to a knowledge of your love, that they might love their neighbor as themselves. And so we pray, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And we ask you would teach us how to pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Maxine. And now we'll have a second hymn here. I invite you to stand with me and we'll sing 181. Our scripture reading you can find in your bulletin or in the Pew Bible. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." But he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there is will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May God bless this reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we pray in your presence that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds now would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the Holy Spirit fire of evangelism and help us to share the good story, your story. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you just love a good story? Who doesn't enjoy a story with a good ending, whether it's in a book or on a movie or maybe verbally told? I still remember as a young camper, we had this huge all-camp bonfire one night during the week, and a plain-clothed elderly man would come, and he had this long white beard and dressed very plainly, plain clothes, and he would tell us a story. And he had a way of storytelling because he spellbound us. His name was Brother David Lehi, and he was quite the storyteller. I think one of the stories I remember in particular was called Martin Comes Home. And there a family out in the wilderness had saved a black bear cub that was orphaned. That cub became the boy's pet. And of course the cub grew and they would wrestle. And the parents got fearful as the bear got bigger. And they eventually had to release the bear. And it was a tremendous heartbreak for the boy because he had no other friends nearby. And years later the boy got lost in the woods. And a bear came to save him just as the wolves were about ready to attack. And he blacked out and came conscious as the bear was clawing at the door of his cabin. His mother and father opened the door, and here were their son that was lost. He was saved by the bear. Regardless of the audience or who is in the crowd to hear them, stories have a way of touching our hearts and changing lives. Whether true or parable, sad or inspiring, people are often challenged to change an attitude or a habit or a lifestyle when touched by a good story. Think of King David. He repented of his sin when the prophet Nathan told him a story about a little lamb. David got angry about the way that the story was unfolding and the man in the story, and he said that man should be held accountable. And his anger rose up, and Nathan pointed his finger and said, "You're the man." And David repented of his sin with Bathsheba. We can respond in a variety of ways to a good story, and our lives can make significant difference in the world because of the story and the storyteller. Maybe that's why Jesus spoke in parables. Often, Jesus had a good story. During his earthly ministry 2,000 years ago, he would often use a parable to make a point or to answer a question. Today, we call his story the Good News. It's a good story. Our scripture for today, in the fourth Sunday of Lent, is this parable. He told here in a mixed crowd of people, tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees and scribes and his disciples. And I'd like to share two thoughts about this portion of Scripture. First is, you know, we never know how people are going to respond to a good story and how they will go about their lives after hearing a good story. Some years ago, I had a chance to meet Fred Craddock. He's a preacher among preachers. And I think one of the best storytellers I have met from the pulpit. And he was pastoring a church in Tennessee, And it seemed that they had this 7-year-old girl who came quite regularly to their Sunday school and sometimes stayed for church. Her parents didn't come. The church had one of those circular driveways, and so every Sunday this car would pull up to the front door and the little girl would get out and come in and the car would drive off. Each week they dropped her off for Sunday school. It was very convenient for them. The family was new in town. They had moved there from New Jersey because of the new chemical plant. And they were somewhat of the upward mobility type. They were very anxious. And the people didn't really know them that well, at least the church people. They didn't, I guess, see any need to go to church themselves, but every Sunday there they were. Dropped off their little girl. On Saturday nights, the whole town, however, knew, though, what went on at their home. They had parties. They gave lots of parties, not for entertaining, but for being seen and having the right people around them. They would determine who they would invite, the right kind of people, the ones that were just above everybody else, the ones that were up next to the boss. They were those kinds of parties that were filled with drinking and wild things and vulgar things. Everybody in the church in the town knew what went on there. But every Sunday there was this beautiful little girl in Sunday school. One Sunday the preacher looked out and there was this little girl sitting in her normal spot. And there was an adult couple with her in the pastor thought, well, she must have brought some friends. But it was her mom and dad. And after the sermon, the preacher usually gave the custom in their church to extend the invitation to discipleship and to come forward. And up the aisle came Mr. and Mrs. Mom and Dad. It was a shock to everyone. They confessed faith in Christ and to the joy of everyone. Afterwards, he asked them, what prompted this? And they said, well, do you know about our parties? And he said, yeah, well, I kind of heard about them. And said, well, we had one last night again, and he got a little loud, got a little rough. There was way too much drinking. It woke up our daughter, and she came down the steps, about to the third step. And she saw that we were eating and drinking. And she said in a loud voice, oh, can I say the blessing? And then she prayed one of those prayers she must have learned here. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Good night, everybody. And she turned around and went back up to bed. When she went upstairs, they said silence filled the room. Everyone was just broken. And finally, someone said, oh my, Lynn, look at the time, I gotta go. And someone else said, we gotta be going too. And someone else said, we stayed way too long. And within 2 minutes, the room was empty. The mixed crowd had left. Mr. and Mrs. Mom and Dad began cleaning up and picking up the crumpled napkins and the wasted items, the spilled peanuts and the half-eaten sandwiches and the dirty glasses and put them on trays and carried them out to the kitchen. And they met at the sink. And they looked at each other and they said, what are we doing? Where are we going? It was a moment of truth for them. It became their story. It became the church's story. That church embraced that family and they grew in Christ. And everybody in the church and everybody in the town knew it. In a different state and in a different church, there was a family whose daughters attended the local vacation Bible school. And they were encouraged to come to Sunday school as well. As a result of the efforts of some of the members of their families and friends, the parents came one Sunday to check out this church. They had heard about the warm fellowship and worship. They were greeted warmly at the door, and the girls felt comfortable in the Sunday school class because there was a couple others there from their school that they knew. But after the service, the mother had to go to the restroom. And while inside one of the stalls, she overheard two ladies gossiping about the visitors. They probably said some things that they shouldn't have. And they didn't know that she was there hearing every word. They said, you see our visitors this morning? I heard that he has an awful temper. And do you know? Well, the mother was offended. The family left. They did not return again to that friendly little neighborhood church. Which church do you think was welcoming? Which church was more like Jesus? Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was a master, and he was a master storyteller. And he was sharing those stories in a mixed crowd. The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like it. They didn't like who he was hanging around with. But he told those parables to get across his point, for those that had ears to hear, and for those that didn't understand, the meaning was veiled. I hope that you notice in our reading of the scriptures this morning that Luke records for us here Jesus' parable, and this is a parable told in three parts. We usually think of it as separate parables, but it really is just one parable. Now he talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. I didn't read the lost son because that's very familiar to us. We know it as the prodigal son story. But as we take these three together, we should notice that there's an ascending degree of value in the story. Jesus had a way of sharing things in a unique way. In the first story about the sheep, there was 1 in 100. About the coin, it was 1 in 10. About the son, 1 in 2. We shouldn't miss also the degree of joy that was experienced in finding these things. Whether a sheep, shekel, or son, the characteristic is for us to go after that which we lose, to look for it. Don't miss Jesus telling these stories to who was in the crowd. Not only his disciples and those that happened to be there that day, but sinners and saints alike. They each heard the same story, but they took it in different ways. These stories were told by Jesus because some wanted to quibble and grumble about the way that Jesus acted with who he ate with, whether they were righteous enough. They were offended by the extravagance of God's grace in the parable. Some of them left with fault finding, while others experienced repentance and rejoiced in God's hospitality. If you've ever lost something, you know, you can relate to a story like this. Maybe you've lost your keys, your cell phone, your wallet, your purse, or a relationship. There is great joy experience in finding that and having it restored again. It was not so helpful to receive criticism at that time, what you should or shouldn't have done in order to prevent the loss. You probably get enough of that from yourself. But after that which is lost is found, we praise God. Praise God is appropriate because of his loving care in the details of our lives. You know, good stories challenge us to change our lives because our lives are significant, and it's Lent. And this is the time when we prepare for Easter and we examine our attitudes and our habits, our lifestyle. We want to experience caring for others, and when we do so, oftentimes it ends up in rejoicing, and having joy for ourselves. Last week we took a look at St. Patrick and his life, the difference that he made in his world in Ireland, and what a difference that continues even to today. stories are told in crowds that are mixed. And there will be fault finders, there will be murmurers, but there will be some who will take it to heart. And it will change a life, and it will leave a legacy. We have the opportunity to share with others, and there is great joy in that. Our job as Christians, the reason that God has still left us here, hasn't come back for us yet, though the time seems like it's soon, is to share the story, to sow the good seed, to tell others about Jesus Christ, the good news. It is a story that will change lives. It is a good story. Secondly, I want us to focus on the joy that's found here. The joy of finding. To find something, whether it's a car key or a cell phone or purse, license. The joy of finding, the relief of knowing that you have it. Have you ever heard of Murphy's Law? Murphy's Law is, you know, whatever will go wrong will. In our Western culture, it's an adage that things will go wrong in any given situation if you give them a chance. But there's also one that's called Mary Ann's Law. Have you ever heard of that? Mary Ann's Law. You can always find what you're not looking for. You can always find what you're not looking for. And then there's Miller's Law. Miller's Law is objects are lost because people look where they are not instead of where they are. And then there's the law of search, which seems to be the first place to look for anything is the last place you expect to find it. Some years ago, a young Maryland man had an accident and he drove off his car into a ravine. His family knew he was in trouble and they went searching for him. And they drove up and down the road many times in an effort to look for him, but did not see where he might have gone off the road. A few days later, he was able to crawl back up the embankment. Now mind you, he was out there for several days. Finally, he was able to get up to the road and someone came along and found him. Can you imagine those parents' joy and relief when they found him alive and they were reunited with him? That's the kind of joy that God has when a sinner turns around, accepts the free gift of grace. We have Amber Alerts, which often help to locate missing children. Sometimes the search ends with joy. And so seems like there's a human law then. People search for that which they have lost, and they are happy when they find it. Jesus, in this story, tells us about another law. It's the angel's rule, and it is to rejoice in the presence of God over one sinner who repents. These messengers of God, guardians of people who serve God night and day, are exceedingly glad. They are happy. They rejoice when one of us gets it. When we acknowledge that we're a sinner, when we can't save ourselves, when we receive that free gift of salvation offered by Christ because of his work on Calvary, when the light bulb finally goes on and we turn our lives around and give them over our hearts to Christ, that's something to celebrate. And the angels rejoice. Lost soul has an abundant life and an eternal life. I'd imagine in heaven there's some high fives going around. There's some yay, some rejoicing. Can you imagine the joy of the angels when there's a sinner saved? Luke includes these parables, this parable here includes these three parts, this lost sheep, lost shekel, and the lost son, to make a point that there was a difference between Jesus and the religious leaders. The religious leaders were worried about outward appearance. They were worried about do's and don'ts. Jesus was worried about that which was lost. 1 out of 100, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 2. Each one was important to look for that which is lost. Once there was a professor who told a true story about a student that he had in the year that was lost and the life that was gained. There was an American student that went to England, and he was studying abroad in a medical school, and there was an atheist in his class, and he tried to win the student over for Christ. And over the course of the semester, they became really good friends because of his sincerity. Even the professor got into the act, and he tried in vain to convince the atheist of Christ's validity. At last, the American student's courses were finished, and he packed up his luggage, and he was getting ready to return to the States to start his practice. And then the student had a thought, and so he went to the professor's office, and he said, I'm wondering whether a life, whether it would be better if I spent a year here of my life trying to convince my friend or to return to the States and start being a doctor. And he said, I'm thinking about staying. And the professor said, well, if you do, it will pay you, and you'll get your man. And so the student stayed, befriended the atheist. It took 11 months, but after the time, the professor saw them two sitting together in a communion service. And before the one-time atheist left the university, he came to that professor's office. And the professor saw him standing in the door, and he asked, well, what do you want? And the student replied, I want to be a medical missionary. Do you think that year was wasted in the life of that student? What a tremendous blessing. What amount of influence he had in changing a young person's life and changing countless others along the way. We would probably consider that it was a waste of that young doctor's time. Many would, spending an extra year in England on his own nickel instead of making a nickel. But he did so to answer the boy's questions, to patiently befriend him and love him into the kingdom. That student was like Jesus to him, and it changed his mind. It changed an inquirer into a seeker. Some people have a problem with Jesus. Many people in our society today have a problem with religion. Don't force your religion on me. I have my own opinions. Jesus made people uncomfortable even in his time. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were uncomfortable the way he was doing things. But children and women and sinners all felt welcome around him. Those that were lost, he came to seek. He said a doctor that needed to spend time with those that are healthy, he needed to spend time with those that are sick. And so he came to die for us, for all who would repent. That was his mission. That was his message. That was his story. You know that there are some ministries that are more effective than churches. There are organizations that are known as the arm of the church or the hand of the church that reach out. Rescue missions and youth organizations like Young Life and Campus Crusade, now called CREW, reach out to college students and university students around the world and they often change countless lives for the kingdom of God, probably more so than many churches, because they go looking for that which is lost. They go seeking. I think some churches get into a mindset that we just invite the lost to come. But, you know, Jesus said that the sinner doesn't like to come into the light due to their deeds being in darkness. And he told us instead that we should go as light and as salt in our society. We should go to them, to reach out to them, to search them out, to reach out to the lost. And so, brothers and sisters, where are the lost in Rocky Ridge? Where are the lost in Thurlock and Emmitsburg? Where do people congregate? That's probably where we need to be. That's probably where we need to go. And what will people say if they see us coming out of a bar? What will people see or say if they see us at a skate park? What will they say or see if we're out in the public? There'll be those that'll want to quibble about the rules. But I think the ultimate goal is, as Jude puts it, to save others with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Save some. Henry Morris wrote, each recovery of that which was lost become an occasion for rejoicing with friends and neighbors. The Lord was telling the self-righteous Pharisees that there is joy in heaven even when one sinner repents. The angels rejoice, but also there is rejoicing in their presence, no doubt by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus rejoices. There's a smile on his face when someone is saved. The Liberty Commentary says, Jesus' remark that there is also joy in heaven over a sinner that repents perhaps subtly implies that not many rejoice with Christ here on earth regarding these matters. Remember, there's great joy in heaven over one finding salvation, over one who was lost and is now saved. And so we should rejoice. We should seek that which is lost, as Jesus did. The angels are joyful over that one that is found. And we're to be disciples, to be Christ-like, to be like the Master, to reflect his love, to reflect his concern for sinful men and women, boys and girls, sinners and saints, to accept people, not accept the sin, but accept people, to invite them to join us, to be with them, to not be so contentious like the Pharisees and scribes were, being offended by the extravagance of God's grace. Jesus wasn't offended to come here, to be born in Bethlehem, to die on a cross. So we should really try to persuade others to not give up in searching for that which is lost. And it might be that a good story will be the thing that will open the door. I think that there's a God-shaped vacuum in every person's life, and the only thing that can fill that is God. Christ has paid the debt. We only need to repent and to come to him in his terms and to accept a free gift, the gift of salvation. When that happens, the angels rejoice. Woo-hoo! Yay! Hallelujah! And it might be someone that you've been praying for. It might be somebody that's been on your list a long time. Don't give up, because it can still happen. And so when it does, we should rejoice and find great joy in joining with them in celebrating life. The one that was lost is found. The one that repents has life eternal. That's reason to rejoice. There is great joy in finding. And we shouldn't fear that which is lost. we should reach out. You never know how people are going to respond to a good story. And Jesus has the best story of all. It is good news still today. The good news of Jesus Christ. And so we should share it. And remember, there's joy at the end. Would you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now and we recognize that you are the bread of life. And we thank you for your righteous servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the parables of Jesus. This parable, the lost sheep, the lost shekel, the lost son. Lord, would you forgive us when we're more like Pharisees, fault-finding and quarrelsome and grumbling over the letter of the law, and or look with content on those who do not follow you yet. Lord, help us to truly repent and to care for all souls, wherever they are, at whatever stage or level that they're at, because you've created them. You've designed them with a soul. Help us, Lord, not to wait too late or too long. Help us to share the good news. They might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May we go out looking for them, finding the lost, sharing this wonderful story of Christ with all who we come into contact with, both near and far, because it is good news. I pray that the joy of the angels would be ours, and that we might know of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ for ourselves. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. It's for your glory, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Please join me as we stand together. We'll close our service with number 487. Number 487. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.
Have a good week in the Lord.